across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, August 28th, 2024. And it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network on the Civic Media app, social media, podcast, however you got here. Nice to have you here on this Wednesday morning, which means we're now at 69 days until the election. I've got a question for you. Where did the early morning sun go? And would somebody please bring it back? It's just a little too dark now during the 5 a.m. hour. And I know the sun's coming up even as we speak here, but I really was a fan of that, you know, 5:30 having the sun up, something I could really get used to. But unfortunately, we only get it for a couple of months each year. Well, here's what's coming up on the show. First off, apologies. I've got a little bit of a sore throat here, so you might hear me pause now and then just to take a sip of water, but we just carry right on and tell you what we're going to be talking about today. Orange County resident Eric Hovde is going to be back in Orange County real soon doing a political fundraiser for a whole bunch of other Republicans, and I'm sure that he's going to benefit in some way, shape, or form. But the question is why? Why would you do that when you already have a residency problem in Orange County versus Wisconsin, where you are running for U.S. Senate? We'll talk about the political stunt that Donald Trump pulled the other day at Arlington National Cemetery. It's now been learned that it didn't just happen. Cemetery staff or others did try to prevent it. There was a bit of an altercation before Trump used what is definitely hallowed ground for partisan political purposes. In our climate check, Vice President Kamala Harris has centered her campaign message on protecting and restoring freedom, including the freedom to have clean air and clean water. And in our second hour, we'll meet the newest reporter at Up North News, political correspondent Elizabeth Montemurow, as she talks about covering last week's Democratic National Convention and the role played there by a Milwaukee mom who's been keeping the spotlight on the need to replace lead water pipes after her son suffered the effects of lead poisoning. Along the way, if you'd like to join us, 855-75-CIVIC, again, 855-75-CIVIC is the phone number. You can also text us at that number, or you can call or text us through the Civic Media app. Or you can put your questions and comments right there on social media. If you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube, we would see you in the comment section there. And you can always email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. 6:09 now, and Greg Bach is along here in Waukesha as well. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Hi.
you ever notice after a long, busy week or maybe a vacation or something, you think everything is fine, and then you realize, maybe I pushed it a little too hard, or maybe I picked up a little something somewhere along the line. So,
you mean you went to a big old event with a bunch of people there?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm hoping whatever this is fairly mild, because yeah. I have a longer holiday weekend planned, and I would like to enjoy it just the same. Thank you very much. Let's get to the big announcement that Civic Media made yesterday. This is exciting, fun stuff. Would you not agree, Mr. Bach, that this is exciting, fun stuff that Civic Media announced yesterday?
I mean, I think it's super, super duper fun stuff. I mean, he told me himself.
He did?
Well, I mean, he came on our show yesterday and talked about it. But go ahead, talk about it.
Oh, okay. Who is this he? Who is this mystery person? That would be Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, who is now part of the Civic Media family. Civic Media announcing yesterday that it has acquired the Recombobulation Area, which is the Milwaukee-based online political news and opinion website that Mr. Schaefer formed some time back. He's been a guest on several Civic Media shows. He will now become the political editor for Civic Media and basically help shape the Civic Media political coverage, both online and on the air. which is super cool for a whole ton of reasons, not the least of which is he's a great guy. And yeah, he's gonna join us tomorrow morning in the 7 a.m. hour. But also because he's just very good at what he does. Look, there are so many people. I don't even want to guess at the number of people who have started a blog or who have started a political blog or who've tried to turn it into kind of a one-man news site or maybe just a small news site with a couple of helpers. It takes something special to take that and give it credibility, make it work. It takes a lot of hustle to turn people into not just readers, but subscribers. And Dan does all that while at the same time being a young parent and trying to make sure you know that he has opinions on things, but still brings you fact-based news, same thing that we do over at Up North News. And like I said, I'm very happy for him, and I'm very happy for Civic Media that they have him on board.
It's going to be great. I mean, the outpouring of love from, you know, just not just Civic Media people, but like all around the country. I mean, Julia Louis-Dreyfus tweeted about it because
Lake Michigan tweeted about it. Lake Michigan has a Twitter account and they tweeted congratulations.
They have a great Twitter account. Mount St. Helens, Lake Michigan, all the natural things have the snarkiest Twitter accounts you can find. But yeah, it really is a great thing to have Dan on board. And he came on the show yesterday to talk about it. And I mean, it's a win for everybody, but Civic Media, man, holy cow, it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. It again, just says something about the way that the network has grown. And I can say all these things because I'm not an employee of Civic Media. You know, Up North News is owned by Courier Newsroom. We're a completely separate entity, but I love the partnership that we have here with Civic Media. And so, you know, all praise to Civic Media for building out this network, putting all kinds of good people in there, not the least of which the guy sitting in Waukesha right now, and creating something that we hope people enjoy listening to and will only grow from here.
Yeah, we're gonna have a good time.
Yeah, very much so. Meanwhile, back over here at Little Up North News, we're still doing our thing. Like I said, we grew our staff recently, and we'll talk to Elizabeth Montemurro coming up in our next hour. Christina Laurie is still cranking out our newsletter every day, and you can get that over at upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up by clicking subscribe in the banner on top of our homepage. Among this morning's stories, how small manufacturers are already benefiting across the Midwest from the Inflation Reduction Act and the CHIPS and Science Act to increase energy efficiency and bring more manufacturing back to America. Also, the Madison skyline protects the view of the state capitol, at least for now. Will future luxury high-rises maybe change that dynamic? Christina has a story about that in the newsletter, a story about water slides coming up ahead of the Labor Day weekend, or water parks, I should say. So all that and more in our newsletter. You can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. I have to find now why I'm turning to Eric Hovde, and I just have to get this out now, Greg, because that way I know I've got a defined time. I've only got exactly 5 minutes and 3 seconds, or 4 minutes and 3 seconds is the most we can talk about this.
Okay.
But Eric Hovde, Orange County, California resident, owner of a bank that operates in California, Utah, Arizona, many other southwestern places, has been trying to shake this tag that he's a carpetbagger. Yeah, he was born and raised in Wisconsin. And then he left, by and large. He's been doing things across the country and around the world. And that's fine. He could do all those things. But when you come back just to run for U.S. Senate and, you know, handle things as clumsily as he has done. I mean, remember, how was it 5-6 weeks ago? He kind of missed a parade and he was seen resting on Laguna Beach with somebody.
That was 4th of July, buddy.
Remember we said that maybe in the future, don't find any reason to go back to Orange County? Well, I would direct your attention to a new flyer that came out with just filled with names and a group called Reclaim the Majority, and they're having a big dinner in Orange County, California, the exact location given only to people who actually donate. And it lists all of these sponsors, and it lists all the special guests. Hey, Ron Johnson's going to be there. You know, Mike Lee, senator from Utah, John Cornyn, senator from Texas, Carrie Lake, wackadoodle from Arizona, Congressman Mike Rogers from Michigan. Oh, and Eric Hovde. Eric Hovde's going to be there as well. And this is all meant to help Senate Republicans reclaim the majority. I, again, offer my free services to any Republican campaign candidate or consultant that would care to listen. Do you own a phone or even a camcorder, a VHS camcorder, okay? With any of these things, you could make a really nice video. Hi, I'm Eric Hovde. I'm here in Ocano, that place where I missed a parade a few weeks back. But I'm out here, you know, kissing hands and shaking babies because I deserve to be the next U.S. Senator. And I'm so thankful all of you folks are back there in California. Thanks for your donations. They're going to help me win the state. They're going to help win the Senate Republican majority. I know one or two people over there. Say hi. Wish them the best. But I am so busy here in Wisconsin. There's your free advice. Make the video. Before you put in writing that he's going to be back in Orange County for a big Republican fundraiser. And yes, I can hear people saying, come on, this is a big, big deal. It's a big deal. The one time you're going to go, hey, if you're going to do something like this, Senate Republicans, that's great. Hold it anywhere else in California, not Orange County. That's not too much to ask. Greg. It is not too much to ask.
It isn't too much to ask. I don't think so at all. I think it's very smart, but we don't rely on Eric Hovde and his campaign to be smart.
We do not. And so with that, we wish happy trails to Mr. Hovde in hopes that he has a good time at this big event taking place tomorrow in Orange County, California. When we come back, Donald Trump's people get into an altercation, allowing him to hold a political event at Arlington National Cemetery. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't give up on us, baby. We're still worth one more try. I know we put a last one by just for the rainy evening when maybe stars are few.
Pat, you're muted.
Don't give up on us, I know.
Oh, hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just muted myself. Professional radio.
Oh, Lordy, we both need
radio.
We so both need a holiday weekend.
Are
need
you listening, WBA? We'll tear her award right now.
And hit stop on the recorder and turn that baby in. Just drop that into a manila envelope. We are good to go.
Okay, well, we're back. Pat, how you doing?
All right. I'm good. Let me tell you about David Soul, since I just gave his whole life story there. From Starsky and Hutch, passed away this past January, born on this day. We'll cover that in today's history lesson coming up in just a bit. I wasn't looking at my mute button because I realized I didn't have the Brewer's notes in front of me, and I was going over and getting those while talking about David Soul. Multitasking, and telling you that things were looking pretty good for the Brewers last night. They came back to take the lead over the San Francisco Giants in the sixth inning off a Willy Adames home run. But the Giants' Mike Yastrzemski, yes, the grandson of Carl Yastrzemski, Boston Red Sox legend, Mike hit a two-run homer in the seventh to give San Francisco the lead and the win 5-4. Earlier in the game, Jackson Churio hit an absolute bomb in the second inning. Hit it off the scoreboard, estimated distance 449 feet. Only four other players in the past 10 seasons have hit homers that far. The two teams will go at it again tonight, same time, 7:10. pregame at 6:35 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Oshkosh. They then will do it again tomorrow afternoon to wrap up that series before the Brewers head to Cincinnati for the weekend, and that will include a Friday doubleheader to make up for an earlier weather postponement. So four games in 3 days coming up in Cincinnati for the weekend for the Milwaukee Brewers. Former President Donald Trump, congratulations to him. He's been indicted yet again, this time again in the federal January 6th case, but with a narrowing of the charges, and I would add a slight narrowing of the charges, in light of the right-wing justices on the U.S. Supreme Court granting a president out of thin air a broad immunity from conduct that happens in what he believes are his official duties as president. Well, Special Counsel Jack Smith took a look at that, pared a few things back, and then filed a new indictment on Tuesday against Trump over his efforts to undo the 2020 presidential election. It keeps the same criminal charges intact, but removes a section that had accused Trump of trying to use the law enforcement powers of the Justice Department to overturn his election loss. Now, that actually troubles me a bit because, and we said this after the Supreme Court ruling, when these conservative justices said, well, if a president believes he's doing something in the course of his official duties, then he's immune from prosecution. I mean, it's like they forgot about Watergate entirely. The whole point of having an independent judiciary is so that a president cannot weaponize law enforcement for his political purposes. And that's the part that's now been removed from the case against Trump, even though the Supreme Court, in so many words, is saying, well, presidents from now on, if they want to use the Department of Justice, you know, as a tool to go after their enemies, they can. Okay, so it's been removed. But nevertheless, there's still plenty to work with here in terms of what Trump did to try to overturn the 2020 election and try to overturn the will of the voters. And thankfully, there is still a case here. It won't be adjudicated before the election is over, but just the same, it stands to reason that a guy who is on tape telling the Georgia Secretary of State, I need you to find so many votes, and who has everything else that the January 6th committee has found out, still needs to go to trial, and it will. In the meantime, Trump is somehow, inexplicably, still the nominee of a major American party. And on Monday, he went to Arlington National Cemetery and did a photo op using the deaths of American service members for political purposes. He went there ostensibly to honor 13 who were killed in the waning days of the conflict in Afghanistan, although he has no record of honoring others who were killed in battle, but is using this particular attack as a political attack on the Biden-Harris administration. We wondered how in the world did Arlington National Cemetery staff allow this to happen? It turns out they knew that that it shouldn't happen. They tried to prevent it from happening. But as first reported by National Public Radio, two members of Trump's team had a verbal and physical altercation with an official at Arlington National Cemetery. A source with knowledge of the incident said the cemetery official tried to prevent Trump staffers from filming and doing photography in a section where recent U.S. casualties are buried. The source said Arlington officials had made clear only cemetery staff members would be authorized to take photographs or film in that area of the cemetery, Section 60. When the cemetery official tried to prevent Trump campaign staff from entering Section 60, campaign staff verbally abused and pushed the official aside. Now, again, what I'm about to say next may sound disingenuous, but trust me, it is sincere. Any other politician who tried to do that at Arlington National Cemetery, it would be an immediate campaign killer. Nobody does that. No normal person does that. No normal campaign does that. Donald Trump somehow continues to get a pass on these things for mocking the dead, for speaking ill of men, of soldiers who are captured and held prisoners of war, for mocking the disabled, a whole host of other things that would have killed any other candidacy. Donald Trump, by playing the role of, you know, blusterous bully, enough people seem to look up to that and want to give him a pass on it. And I think that what happened on Monday, he was all set. It was just going to be another day in the news cycle and have no legs whatsoever. But thankfully, a report has been filed by cemetery staff, something that is going to at some point come out and be made public, I believe, because the cemetery, you know, does confirm the report's filed and says, quote, federal law prohibits political campaign or election-related activities within the Army National Military Cemeteries to include photographers, content creators, or any other persons attending for purposes or in direct support of a partisan political candidate's campaign. Arlington National Cemetery reinforced and widely shared this law and its prohibitions with all participants. And Trump's team mocked it and went ahead and used Arlington National Cemetery as a photo op. Any veteran who still supports Trump after this, come see me. We need to talk.
It's electric!
We are back on Up North News Radio and getting back into the swing of things with our routine, which includes checking on news about our climate and who's looking to protect it, who's looking to undermine it. Stark differences were apparent at the two political conventions. They are behind us now, but let's cover that and more as we always do on Wednesday mornings with Melissa Baldoff. Melissa, how are you?
I am doing well, thanks. How are you?
Doing well here, too. Thank you very much. Heard you had a nice vacation and were able to unplug from the political news. So, first off, good for you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was great to unplug for a little bit and spend a little time in nature. My family and I headed to Denver for a few days where we got to, we visited Rocky Mountain National Park and Garden of the Gods. You know, just being in nature and, you know, exploring some of, you know, some of our beautiful natural resources was a great reminder of why, it's so important to be fighting to protect our natural resources and our climate and our planet for future generations. So it was a great reminder now that I'm back to it of why this work is so important.
But you also came back to it to temperatures that were again in the 90s. Heat index readings were in the hundreds. Just as kids are going back to school, it's just a reminder that there is still plenty of work to be done, not just to stop contributing to the problem, but to mitigate the problems that are already created when you've got so many hot days in a row in school districts, for example.
Absolutely. You know, kids are in some places headed back to school. Many of those schools do not have air conditioning. So, you know, that's really unfortunate. And it also, though, is a good reminder that, you know, there are things that can be done and there are resources available for school districts, you know, around the state, around the country to take advantage of. The Inflation Reduction Act provides resources for schools to use direct pay funding to pay for clean energy upgrades that would make those buildings more energy efficient, you know, cleaner, cooler, safer, healthier, and save them some money on those operating costs. And that's money that can go right back into the classroom. So, you know, that's an important thing that folks should be thinking about looking into. You know, no matter where you are in Wisconsin, this is money that's available to any and every school district.
And for folks who weren't listening on Monday morning, Selena Heller was on playing some audio from an official with the Black River Falls School District. And there she was with him up on the roof of the school looking at the new solar panels that were put there. Again, thanks to the Biden-Harris Inflation Reduction Act, which would upfront the money so that schools could then save money and taxpayers could save money down the road on the installation of these things. So be sure to check out Selena Heller's story at upnorthnewswi.com or the video version of her story on the Up North News social media sites. So, yeah, again, school districts, there's a lot that they can do there. Let's turn our attention now over to the convention, the Democratic convention. And the interesting headline there that in the New York Times from Kamala Harris, new strategy, equate fighting climate change with freedom. And there has been a lot of discussion about the patriotic attitude that you saw at the Democratic convention, where people see real and existential threats to America in the form of people that would want to bring in authoritarian governments and, you know, tear down so much of, you know, the social safety net and the administrative state that keeps things, you know, safe. And so for Kamala Harris to talk about what are called the fundamental freedoms at stake this November, she's not just talking about reproductive choice, but she's also talking about being able to have the freedom to breathe clean air, to drink clean water, and live free from the pollution that fuels the climate crisis. Melissa, we've talked about this subject many different ways. Putting it in the frame of freedom strikes me as something that can be rather effective with swing voters.
I absolutely agree. And, that's something I have seen, not this particular framing, this exact way, but I've seen in polling when talking about climate change previously, that idea of letting people be in charge of their own destiny when it comes to clean energy, people talking about energy freedom, about people having the choice to make, the freedom to make their own choices about their energy consumption is a very popular idea. So I think taking that to a much bigger, taking that to a grander scale, this is about an opportunity to have the freedom to breathe clean air, drink clean water, and live free from pollution, I think is an incredibly smart way to frame this, this way of thinking. And I also really appreciated one of the, messages delivered at the convention from Representative Maxwell Frost from Florida, who's the youngest member of Congress, who said that fighting the climate crisis is patriotic. And I agree, what could be more patriotic than fighting to, protect our natural resources, protect the land that we live on, the water that we drink, the air that we breathe, to keep it safe and healthy for our children and our grandchildren and our future generations. And I think that is, something that, maybe Democrats have not always embraced quite as much as we could have in the past, that, that idea of patriotism. And I certainly would never suggest that we haven't actually felt it and meant it. But I really have enjoyed seeing that, more forward messaging around the idea of patriotism, and that protecting our natural resources, protecting the planet, being good stewards of the earth, that is very patriotic, and it is about giving people freedom and allowing them to use that freedom. So I really think it is a very smart messaging choice. I think that's one, it's one that really resonates with people, and it lets them, connect to that message in the way that is most resonant to them, right? And what it means to them. So it can mean a lot of things to a lot of people, and they get to make that choice for themselves.
I would add in there as well, there's a freedom to speak the truth and not have to deal with the way that Donald Trump, for example, continues to call the changing climate a hoax that can simply be addressed by, you know, saying drill, baby, drill enough times and being in absolute denial of what's happening all around the earth. But it's not only the freedom frame that's out there for the voters, but that of a choice as well. Whether it's the choice again of your health care, but also the choice of what kind of natural resources you want, and the choice of what kind of economy you want. Do you want an economy that's based on drilling for more oil and gas, or do you want an economy that is based on all the jobs growth that is going to come in these clean energy sectors? One certainly seems to have a longer horizon of potential than the other, Melissa, when people are thinking about, you know, the long-term economic choices they're making.
Absolutely. And, you know, I would definitely say, you know, some of the, you know, the critics and the, you know, opponents on the other side, you know, here, they, you know, they want to say, you know, that, you know, that Democrats and that, you know, specifically that Vice President Harris, you know, that by, you know, favoring some of the environmental policies, by supporting, you know, wind and solar and EVs, that, you know, it runs a risk in, you know, Rust Belt states or with moderate voters. But, you know, I think that, you know, kind of the proof is in the pudding here when you see that the Inflation Reduction Act has created more than 100,000 new manufacturing jobs. So these are jobs that are going to be jobs of the future that are going to be here to stay and that are going to be those good paying family supporting jobs that we're talking about. You know, we're not talking about building an economy, you know, on the backs of, you know, workers that are paid low wages anymore. We are talking about building a middle class economy where everyone can succeed, everyone can thrive, everyone can get ahead. And that really, I think, you know, kind of builds on that theme of freedom, where everyone has the freedom in the kind of economy that we're building for. Everyone has the freedom to, you know, to be successful and to support their family and to live a good life. So, you know, that's, I think, another, you know, another part of this. You know, the old way of doing things, you know, might have been great for those at the very top. But, you know, despite the promises of Republicans, like that wasn't trickling down to very many people. So we really need to build that, you know, our economy, you know, from the bottom up and the middle out. Going from the top down wasn't working. And what we're seeing from a lot of these policies in the Inflation Reduction Act and in, you know, these other infrastructure bills that have, you know, gone along to support the Inflation Reduction Act, is these are creating those jobs that will grow our middle class.
And by the way, when people say, well, you know, where are all these 100,000 jobs coming from? They're coming from, in a report by the American Clean Power Association, so far, the announcement of the construction of more than 160 domestic manufacturing facilities and $500 billion of new investment in that, in all sorts of fields. Again, you've got everything from solar to hydrogen to more efficient transmission, wind, and so much more. And I'll end, Melissa, on a slight note of frustration. But again, as we've talked about with Mark Jacob repeatedly on Fridays, the New York Times just seems to have an issue here. And in this case, it's the issue of, well, Vice President Harris has not really laid out any details of her climate policy. Hello, she's been the vice president. She has a 4-year administrative record on the climate. She campaigned for president and talked about holding polluters accountable. I really don't think that that particular talking point should take off. I don't doubt that anybody knows where Vice President Harris stands on climate issues compared to, say, I don't know, Donald Trump.
I absolutely agree. I think everyone, it's very clear where Vice President Harris stands. I think that as, you know, and her campaign is still pretty new. And I think that she will absolutely offer over time here a little bit of distinction on, you know, anything that she might, you know, want to see different or do differently in the future. But I expect that she is going to want to build on the legacy that President Biden, you know, has laid out here and build on the successes that they have already set out together. So I think that there is a great path and a great plan in place for the vice president when she becomes president. And I think that she will also work with partners and work with hopefully some Democratic majorities to build on that progress, to build on that legacy, and to see new successes come in the future. And I have full faith that she'll do that. I don't have full faith in some of our friends in the media, including the folks at the New York Times, to give her a little grace in laying out additional details. You know, they're giving her a hard time when, you know, we still don't even have a healthcare plan from Donald Trump, and he's been, you know, running for president for almost a decade now. But, you know, so it goes.
Yeah, so it goes. And again, the usual caveat that any candidate can have any kind of plan they want. It really comes down to what can you get through Congress. And so we will also have to see what a President Harris would deal with if she wins in both the House and the Senate. More to come. Melissa Baldoff, as always, thanks for helping us do our climate check for this week. Time for today's history lesson. It was on this day in 2001 that Mary J. Blige released her 5th studio album, No More Drama, including what I think you would call an instant classic, Family Affair. Melissa Kay is here with us now from WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids as well. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Help me out with this. The song is called Family Affair. And so I thought this would be a good place to also mention, in light of the news that Oasis is getting back together, it was on this day in 2009 that the feuding brothers Liam and Noel Gallagher announced that Oasis had split, probably for good, with Noel saying, I quit Oasis tonight. People will write and say what they like, but I simply could not go on working with Liam one day longer. until now.
Yes. And you let's know. Have a farewell tour.
Yes.
Again.
Yes.
And again.
Yeah.
And well, again. I mean,
the Eagles went on a 14-year break. So these guys just decided to go 15 and say, right. Okay, here,
you know, watch this. We've got to one up the Eagles.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. Champagne Supernova was a pretty awesome song.
Yes. And so can they do that again, or are they just going to play the old hits?
They're going to play the old hits.
They're going to play the old hits. They are not going to collaborate.
They're not going to do anything new because their fans want to hear their old music. Yeah. So
Yep. You're right. That's exactly it. So
what's taking me back to high school today, Pat.
Yeah. What's happening in Rapids?
I don't know. I'm still recovering from the fair.
Oh, no.
It was a long week.
Aw.
And they're holding my tablecloth hostage.
What?
That sounds like something that you would say. That's a Melissa K sentence. They're holding my tablecloth hostage. Ah!
Boy, think lines you don't expect to hear. Let's get to some birthdays, including Margaret Rhymes. She went with Leanne Rhymes eventually, and she is 42 years old today. And I love this intro. I love the guitar, because you know you're going to hear her voice next.
Just makes me think of the movie The Rock.
Yep, good movie.
I remember that there was some kind of a dust-up that they did not put this version in the movie, right? They put the Trisha Yearwood version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they said, what does a 16-year-old know about singing about love and loss? I think she did pretty good. Don't you?
I would say so. Like this version better.
Not The Rock, Con Air. It's Con Air.
Yes, you're right. I knew which movie you meant, though.
It's part of the Cage trilogy.
Yes. And I even pictured the scene that this song plays in that movie.
Yep.
Well, there you go. All right, time for another birthday here. Let's see, Leanne Rhymes was 42. Shania Twain, her birth name Eileen Edwards, was born in Windsor, Ontario, 59 years ago today. If you're not in it for I believe she is touring again.
Yes. She really? Actually just came to Milwaukee this year.
Okay. Yeah. And good for her. There was a very long lull because of a personal life that was not going very well. And I'm glad she's back on her feet again. Good for her. Mm-hmm. Wayne Osmond of the Osmond Brothers is 73 today. Actress Jennifer Coolidge is 63. Jack Black is 55.
Wow.
And Florence Welch, this of course would be pre-Machine. She was born in London 38 years ago today.
Pre-Machine.
The machineless Florence Welch. And then found yourself a machine and started cranking out hits with it. Good for her.
I love Florence and the Machine. That's my Jennifer Coolidge. That's terrible.
It's not the worst Jennifer Coolidge impression. It's not the best, but it's not the worst by any stretch. I like it. You're going to work on it. You're going to bring that back because I like it.
Thank you.
You're going to work on that one. It's going to be great. Where are we, Melissa, on John Denver's Take Me Home Country Roads?
Like, where are we in life on it?
We really like it. We turn the dial.
I love singing it.
Okay. Well, good.
The harmonies in it are fun.
That's great. Hit it, Craig. Country
road. See, you didn't have a choice there, Melissa. Take me home to the place. I belong. Everyone sing.
Everybody is, because it peaked at number 2 on the Billboard charts this day in 1971.
He won Best New Artist for a Country Award back in the late 70s. And Charlie, I can't remember his last name, burned the envelope on stage.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Charlie Daniels, right?
It wasn't Charlie Daniels, it was somebody else. But yeah, he just lit it on fire, and I'm like, wow!
Okay, somebody had an opinion on that. All right, on this day in 1960, Barry White was 17 years old. He had just completed a 4-month prison term for stealing tires from a Cadillac dealership. He heard an Elvis song on the radio. While he was in prison, he heard Elvis singing on the radio, "It's Now or Never." And he left prison determined to make music his life, which worked out pretty well for Barry White. Good for him. On this day in 2001, Puddle of Mud released their debut album, Come Clean, selling over 3 million copies, thanks to hits like Blurry.
Thanks, Fred Durst. Without you, we wouldn't have them.
Today is National Bowtie Day. I think I've only worn those with a tuxedo. Yes, I know I've only worn them with a tuxedo. Don't know when I ever would again. Today is Cherry Turnover Day.
Ooh.
Which, that's one of those tough ones. It's very easy to get that one wrong and have it be too dry and, I mean, kind of.
It's got to have a good pastry.
Yes, yes. This is National Power Rangers Day. I'm not sure why, but it just is. And this is Rainbow Bridge Remembrance Day for the pets that we have lost over time. How's Labor Day weekend looking for you, Melissa?
I don't even know. I'm probably going to spend it working. I need to I need to scrape the paint off of my shed so I can paint it. So that's probably what I'll do.
Wow. Do you need help?
Yeah. You want to come over? I'll buy you a beer.
No, not me. I was going to see if Greg was free. That's all.
I don't live anywhere near either of you. Leave me alone.
I just figured you'd like a road trip.
I knew Roger was going to have it.
Roger puts it on Facebook. Charlie
Way
Rich
to go, Roger.
Was the one that burned that award envelope. Melissa, thank you so much. Hope you have
a good
weekend.
To see you guys.
Whatever you decide to do.
Yes, you too.
All right. We'll get to know the new reporter for Up North News, Elizabeth Montemurro, coming up right after this break for news on this Wednesday morning, August 28th. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north, live.